Welcome to this week's podcast from Free Chapel in Orange County. We hope you enjoy this message. For more information, check out our website at freechapel.org.
I've come to encourage you tonight. I want you to look with me, Matthew chapter 11 and verse 2. And when John heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples. And he said to him, "Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?" Jesus answered and said unto them, "Go and tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me." Verse 7 is very important. Notice the first words, "And as they departed," to go back to John who was in prison, "as they departed," in other words, one translation that I read said, "when they had left, Jesus began to say to the multitudes concerning John, 'What did you go out to see? In the wilderness to see a reed shaken by the wind?'" Let's go down to verse 10 for the sake of time. "For this is he," he's going to start bragging on John, "for this is he of whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you.' Assuredly, I say to you, among those born of woman, there has not risen one greater." Can you imagine God saying this about you? What a compliment. What an encouragement. "Of men born of woman, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist. But he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." I want to preach to you for a few moments tonight a brand new message that God has laid on my heart. And I'm going to call it "The Most Encouraging Words You've Never Heard." The most encouraging words you've never heard. This story, of course, is centered around John the Baptist. John the Baptist was the preparer of the way. John the Baptist was the son of Elizabeth and Zacharias, the priest. He was given to them in their old age. He was the third cousin of Jesus Christ. And the Bible said that he was there and had the awesome privilege. One day as he was baptizing people in the Jordan River, he had the awesome privilege of announcing to the world, of introducing for the first time to the whole wide world. What an honor. What a moment. "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world." And Jesus then walks out into the water, wades out, and says, "I need you to baptize me." Now, I just want to throw this in there. If Jesus, the sinless Son of God, needed to be baptized, you do too. And Jesus insisted. John said, "I'm not worthy." But Jesus said, "This must happen to fulfill all Scripture." And John baptized him in the water. And when he came up out of the water, the heavens opened up. The Holy Spirit in the form of a dove descended upon Christ. And a voice that they all heard spoke, said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." John is having a massive, unforgettable experience. He just introduced the Lamb of God to the world, and God Almighty, with a thundering voice, confirmed it. And he was part of that miracle. How amazing. Fast forward 18 months into Matthew chapter 11. And there's no shouts, and there's no praises, and there's no Holy Spirit dove, and there's no glory going on. He's in a filthy prison. Herod has locked him up because of his sermon. He preached and he told Herod that it was not right for him to take his brother's wife and marry her. And Herodias' wife became so angry. This was Herod's wife now. She became so angry and furious that she wanted John to die. And one night she got Herod in a drunken stupor at a wild party. And to show you her perversion, she brought her own daughter in. And had her dance the most provocative dance that she could dance. And it must have been moves that would make Beyonce blush. Come on. I mean, I don't know what she was doing, but listen to what the Bible said about Herod after he saw her dance. And of course, it was the intoxication of wine and all of that, that he turned to his wife and he said, "You have so pleased me by letting your daughter, the perversion of it, dance in front of me like this, that I will give you up to half the kingdom of anything you ask." And she said, "All I want is the head of John the Baptist on a platter." And so this is the situation that John is in. The clock is ticking and he knows he's about to die. He's in chains, he's behind bars, and two of his disciples, two of the followers of John, came to see him in the prison. And John, in desperation, said, "I want you to go find my cousin Jesus. And I want you to ask him, is he the one, or do I need to look for another, because I'm running out of time," is what he was saying. And those two men took off from that prison and they find Jesus. And the Bible said he was performing miracles. The lame were walking, the blind were seeing, the deaf were hearing. It even said the dead were being raised all day long. And they came and asked him, "Are you the one John wants to know, or do we look for another?" And he ignored them. All day long, he's performing miracles. He says nothing. And finally, at the end of the day, he turns, and I can almost see him in my mind as he says to them, "You're still here. And you go tell John for me that the blind see and the lame walk and the dead are raised. And blessed is he who is not offended by me." And what caught my attention in this story is verse 7, "And as they departed," meaning they walked away with no encouragement for John. I mean, I don't know about you, but if I was in prison, that's great. That's great. The lame people are walking. That's great. I'm in chains. I'm in prison. I'm about to be beheaded. What about me? And they walk off and they go back to the prison, and John is eagerly awaiting their arrival. And when they get there, they say to him, "All he said about you, John, was to tell you that the blind see, the dead are being raised, miracles are happening, and blessed are you if you don't get offended at him." But meanwhile, while they are departing, the Bible said Jesus then turned to the multitude and began to say the most encouraging, powerful words about John. As a matter of fact, he would pay him the greatest compliment any human being would ever be paid by God Almighty. When Jesus said to multitudes, "John, born of woman, there is no one greater than that man." But they were encouraging words that John never heard. I preached a lot of funerals through the years of pastoring. And I couldn't help but think, John's in prison, and if he could have just heard those words, can you imagine how they would have lifted it? What if they had heard John, what if they had heard Jesus say that and ran back and said, John, Jesus said, "There's nobody greater born of woman than you. John, he was telling them how you were the chosen one to prepare the way, and the kingdom of God is being advanced. John, he was bragging. It would have brought such encouragement to John. He would have rattled those chains and shouted behind those bars and said, hell can't stop me." But instead, he never heard those words. And I preached funerals of people. One time in Georgia, in Gainesville, I preached a funeral. And it wasn't my fault. My portion, it was about 10 minutes. But it went 3 hours. It's the longest funeral I've ever been to. Everybody got up. And they all had such amazing, and he was worthy of it. It's an amazing person. And person after person after, he was amazing. He was a great dad. He was this, he was that. He was a powerful Christian. They went on and on and on for 3 solid hours. And I couldn't help but think, it's not right for us to wait till everybody's dead before we give encouraging words to them. I mean, I'm sitting there for 3 hours in my mind, I'm thinking, he can't hear any of this. I'm tired of waiting till everybody's dead and then we begin to brag on them. I'm going to preach a message to you that John never heard, and all I've got is three quick points. And even in your prison of pain, even in your prison of loneliness, even in your prison of depression, even in your prison of addiction, even in your prison of past failure, I want to give you the words that John never heard to encourage you. Because I promise you that in this story, there were three things that Jesus said when he complimented John that John never heard that encouragement, but you're going to get to hear it tonight in your prison. Number one, this is the first point. This is the first word that John never heard of encouragement. You're doing better than you think you are. The Bible said that Satan is the accuser of the brethren. And if hell is always accusing us, I want to be the complimenter of the brethren. Somebody needs to be the complimenter, the encourager, if Satan's always accusing. And I've come tonight to say Jesus Christ loves you and you're doing better than you think you are. Somebody needs to hear you're going to make it. Somebody needs to hear that God has forgiven you and he's not upset with you because you had a relapse. You're doing better than you think you are because you're listening to a preacher right now. Somebody needs to know how to go to heaven. Let me tell you how to go to heaven. Don't ever stop going. All you got to do to get to heaven is just never stop going. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 has 28 times or seasons. It's the chapter where it says to everything there is a time and there is a season. There's a time to be born, there's a time to die. There's a time to gather, there's a time to disperse. There's a time to laugh, there's a time to cry. It has 28 times. There's one time in the Bible I can't find, the time to quit. There is no time to quit. Turn to somebody and say, this is no time to quit. You're doing better than you think you are. You hear me, you guys in the Dream Center? This is no time to quit. You're doing better than you think you are. You girls hear me? You hear me in the Dream Center? You're doing better than you think you are. Don't you let the enemy put you down. I'm giving you the words John never heard. Don't quit. Somebody shout, don't quit. You're doing better than you think you are. Jesus was bragging on him, but he never heard the words. Some of you are so good at putting yourself down. You're so good at beating yourself up. You're so good. But I've come to encourage you. Look at you on a Sunday night at 4:30 or whatever, sitting in church. You're not in a hell house. You're not in a crack house. You are sitting in church. I don't care what you've done this week. You're doing better than you think you are. Somebody give God praise for grace. Hallelujah. If John had heard that, oh, it would have caused him joy in that prison. Pastor, you don't understand. I've got cancer. I've got heart disease. I'm a single mom and I'm running out of money. I've got an addiction, but you're doing better than you think you are. God loves you. You're in the house of God. And when you meet the accuser on the path, get to the throne. Anytime the accuser gets some smut on you, he'll run straight to the throne to throw mud on you. And I found out what to do about it. I beat him to the throne. And if I confess and say, Lord, I'm sorry, by the time he gets there, God says, what is your problem? I can't find anything. He's repented. You're doing better than you think you are. I wish John could have heard that encouraging word that Jesus spoke about it. He felt like a failure in that prison. He felt like a nobody in that prison. And that's how the enemy wants you to feel when it seems like you're going through the absence of God in your life and nothing's happening and other people are getting miracles, but nothing's going on. You're doing better than you think you are. You know, I read something this week. That's a fact. It takes 72 muscles to smile, and it takes 108 muscles to frown. I love this. Why don't you get lazy and smile? Because you're doing better than you think you are. Turn to somebody right now and say, why don't you get lazy and get happy this afternoon? Because it ain't as bad as you're acting like it is. God is still for you. God is still with you. Come on, church. I'm preaching the truth. Smile a little bit. You're doing better than you think you are. You may not have everything that you need, but you know what? God's going to take care of you. Everybody take a praise break, and I'll go to the second point. Encourage yourself tonight. I'm doing better than I thought I was. I know a lot of people who quit. I know a lot of people who gave up. I know a lot of people who went back to the pig pen. But here I am. I might have some issues, but here I am. Here I am. Number two, the second word that John never heard is not only are you doing better than you think you are, but you matter more than you think you do. Turn to somebody and say, you matter. It's an amazing scripture in Isaiah 41, I believe it's verse 5. It said, everyone helped his neighbor and said to his brother, be of good courage. You guys got that verse? Be of good courage. And then it goes on to say, and the craftsman encouraged the goldsmith. And the goldsmith encouraged the one who held the hammer. And the one who held the hammer encouraged the one who held the nail. And then it says in verse 8, then he fastened it with pegs that it might not totter. Totter means to stumble, to stagger, to wobble. What I'm saying to you is this. You matter more than you think you do. And I love the fact that the Bible said the carpenter encouraged the goldsmith. And the goldsmith encouraged the guy with the hammer. And he said, you're important too. And then he passed it on to the guy holding the nail. You're important. You matter too. I'm telling you, God's really using you. Well, all I'm doing is holding a nail. Well, all I'm doing is holding a hammer. Well, all I'm doing is doing the gold. All I'm doing is, I'm the craftsman. I'm the engineer. But they all encouraged one another. And they kept saying, you matter. No, you matter. No, you matter. And they were telling the truth. You matter more than you think you do. And for one reason, he didn't want anyone to totter. Nobody's going to totter. Nobody's going to wobble. Nobody's going to stagger. Nobody's going to fall down. We're all going to stand up. Because everybody in this house matters. I wish John could have heard that message because he felt like he didn't matter in that prison. He felt like he was a nobody, forgotten and forsaken. But you matter more than you think you do. Even Jesus Christ needed encouragement. When he went to the Mount of Transfiguration, there are two times, I believe, in the Bible where Jesus was about to quit and wanted to quit. The Garden of Gethsemane, he even asked, can I bypass this? I don't want to do it. And I believe the second time was on the Mount of Transfiguration. And the Bible said when he was there that God sent from heaven Elijah and Moses. And they came down from heaven to talk to him about things concerning his death. I believe that Jesus was having a little issue with the man part of him. I believe he was questioning, do I really matter? We all do. Do I really make a difference? Jesus had one of those moments like we have when we wonder, do I matter? Do I even matter? As a parent, sometimes you feel like you're a failure, and you think, do I matter? Or as someone that has messed up and failed, and maybe you're in a dark prison right now, spiritually speaking. Maybe it's a prison of addiction, and you almost feel like you don't even matter. Nobody cares. But I can see Moses walk over to Jesus and say, now, Jesus, I had to die so that they could go into the promised land. And I can see Elijah walk over and say, now, Jesus, I had to go up so that double miracles could come in. And what we're saying to you, Jesus, is yes, you're going to die, and yes, you're going to be raised up. But what's going to come behind you is the church. And the church is going to do greater works than you did, double the miracles, because of your death and your resurrection. You matter more than you think you do. I believe Jesus needed to hear that encouragement that day on that mountain. You know what Jesus said about John? Talk about matter. Of all men born of woman, there's none greater than John. Now, John's in the prison, in chains, behind bars, feeling like a nobody and a nothing. And he doesn't know that Jesus, the God-man, is saying there's nobody that mattered more than that guy that's in that horrible prison. But I love what the rest of the verse says, and we leave it there. But he that is least in the kingdom is greater than he. Well, that's me. That's how I feel. I'm least in the kingdom. I struggle sometimes to believe in myself. I question and have my whole life in ministry. Do I even matter? But boy, I tell you, Jesus says, you matter more than you think you do. I wish my dad could hear this sermon. He never pastored a church this size. The churches that my dad pastored, you could put pretty much in this first section. He struggled, and he was good, and he preached, and he was godly. He was an awesome dad and a powerful preacher. But for whatever reason, God never opened major, mighty doors for him. Boy, I wish Dad could hear me. Dad, you matter. I wish my brother, who died of cancer at 54, that I was saved under his ministry, filled with the Holy Spirit under his ministry, called to preach and preach my first sermon in his revival. He's gone on to heaven, but I just want to say, Richie, you really mattered. You matter. Turn to somebody and say, you matter. Carissa, you matter. Ben, you matter. You matter more than you think you do. Jake, you matter. Don't you ever let the enemy tell you you're nobody and nothing. I'll tell you, it's a demonic thing when we compare ourselves with other people and compare ourselves and with other ministries, compare ourselves with other people and families that are doing so great, and we're going through struggles. You matter to God just like you are. Hallelujah. I'm almost through. Y'all with me? The third thing, the most encouraging word that you never heard, is it's less about you than you think. It's less about you and more about him. When you're going through a trial, when you're going through a tough time, here's the encouraging word John never heard. It's less about you than you think. Let me put it this way. There's a family there, actually kin to us, Johnny and Mary Beth in Georgia, and they wanted to have a child forever, and they couldn't have a child for physical reasons. And so they finally decided to adopt a child from China. And it was an enormous process. They spent over $25,000. They finally, the day came, they flew over to China, and they had over 10 years long for this day. And they were given the little infant, newborn baby girl, placed in their arms. And to that little baby, it was just another pair of arms. But to that mother and that father, they're weeping, they're crying, they're tore up. It meant more. It was more about the father than it was the baby. And I know it's wonderful when you get born again and when you get baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit. But as great as it is for you, it's less about you than you think. You've got a father in heaven that is going berserk. You've got angels in heaven that are rejoicing at the repentance of one soul. You've got a cloud of witnesses of loved ones who've been praying and praying and praying for you. And when, as much as you think it's about you, the greatest thing that's going on is in the other world. I thought about John behind those bars, and it's less about you, and I couldn't help but think about Job. Job loses his finances, his health, 10 children in one day, everything is gone. He doesn't know that it's not about him. He doesn't know that there's a secret conversation in the spirit world between God and Satan. And God turns to Satan, who came on a certain day to accuse, and he said, "Have you considered my servant Job? He loves me and he will worship me no matter what you do to him." And Satan said, "Anybody can serve you. You've got a hedge around him. He has no problems." And God says, "You couldn't. You lived in a hedge." That's what I like to remind the devil, is when I'm having a bad day, well, I'm trying to live for him on earth. You couldn't even live for him in heaven. You couldn't live for him when there was no devil. You couldn't live for him when there was no curse and no sin. So get off my back. Get your condemnation off of me. Because here I am, and if I mess up, I dust myself up and I beat you to the throne and I say, "Lord, I need your grace again." And the enemy attacks Job. But Job, it's not about you. God said to Satan in so many words, "He doesn't serve me because of, he will worship me in spite of." See, some people only worship God because of the house, because of the car, because things are going good, because everything's beautiful in my life. But when you really get a hold of what I'm trying to encourage you with, you don't just worship God because of, you worship God in spite of my trouble, in spite of my trials, in spite of my chains, in spite of my prison, in spite of my depression and discouraging circumstances. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. There was a man who was pulled over to the side of the highway. His car had broke down. And he's like me. He didn't know what to do. So he just raised the hood. Is that what it's called? The hood. I do know how to put air in the tires, but I don't know how much. That's the thing I don't understand. It's got the little meter thing goes out to about 10. So I just figure you just fill it up. I don't know. I don't know. I never have figured that out. I guess that's enough. I don't know. But I don't know how to change oil. I don't know where a spark plug is. I don't even know what it is. I don't know anything about a car. And this guy's on the side of the road. True story. The hood is up. All of a sudden, a limousine pulls in, being driven by a chauffeur. Out of the back of the limousine, a man gets out. He looks like $1 million, dressed in a three-piece suit and tie. He walks over to the car. And he says to the man, "Are you having a problem?" He said, "Yes, sir, I can't get my car started." And he said, "You get in the car and I'm going to roll my sleeves up and let me have a look at it." And he goes in and he says, "When I tell you, you hit the ignition And he did something in there. And in a few minutes, he said, try it now. And sure enough, it cranked right up. And the man got out of the car and he's astonished. Here's this guy's limo. He obviously is a very wealthy man. He said, sir, how much do I owe you? Thank you so much. He said, you don't owe me a thing. He said, why would you do this? Can I at least know who you are to say thank you? He said, my name is Henry Ford. And he said, I created the car that you're driving, and it bugs me when I see my creation sitting on the side of the road not doing what I created it to do. It's not about you. I'm saying to somebody under the sound of my voice, God won't leave you on the side of the road. He'll pour in the oil and the wine. He'll pay for the end. He'll get you back on your feet. He says, don't you give up. You matter more than you think you do. You're doing better than you think you are. And it's not about you. It's about Him. And He joys in restoring our lives. Give God a big praise. I'm almost through. But I thought about Adam and Eve last night. I don't know why, but sometimes I wonder about things when I read it. And I'm reading through the Bible again. I like to do that. And I'm reading through the Bible again. And Adam and Eve messed up in the garden. And when I read it again with fresh eyes, I said, God, why didn't you wipe them out? Stop it all. They're just two people. You can replace them. We could start all over. The next group might not be as dumb. Have you ever wondered that? I'm telling you, I feel like the Lord spoke to me. And He said, I don't like to replace damaged goods. I like to fix them. I don't like to replace damaged marriages with another one. I like to fix them. God's not into replacing you. He wants to fix you. And it's not about you. It's not as much about you as you think it is. He gets joy. You're His creation. And when He sees you broke down on the side of the road, He gets joy out of picking you up, fixing you, saying, run and not be weary, walk and not faint, mount up with wings as eagles, be encouraged. I am your God. You're going to help me preach. I want you to get your finger, that finger right there, not the middle one, that one. And I want you to point at your neighbor. Look at him right now. Point your finger and say, you're doing better than you think you are. Turn to your other neighbor and say, other neighbor, you matter more than you think you do. Come on, tell him, you matter more than you think you do. You be encouraged. You matter more than you think you do. You matter more than you think you do. You're doing better than you think you are. And now say to yourself, it's not about me. It's all about Him. He joys in my restoration. He really does love me. He really is for me. Praise God. Now, David encouraged himself in the Lord. And I don't know who I'm preaching to who's in a prison, but the Lord let you hear tonight what John never heard. Boy, when he got to heaven, he had his head in one hand, his body with the other. Can you see the crown that came on him from Jesus? And then he reads the report. You really? See, this is the thing that blows my mind. That while he thought God had forgot about him, Jesus was saying the most encouraging words that he never heard. Wonder what heaven is saying about you in your darkest trials. Stand to your feet all over this room. Lift up your hands all over this room. And even if you've got some chains on, even if you've still got some things that are holding you and hindering you and bothering you, rattle those chains, throw those hands up and say, I'm going to worship you in spite of, not because of, because Lord, I believe the report and I'm encouraged tonight. I encourage myself in the Lord. And so when I was under the tent in Tulsa, at the end of the Holy Ghost just moved. And the Spirit of God, I didn't even think about it. The Spirit of God quickened me. And I heard a song going off in my head. Something good is going to happen to you. Happen to you. This very day. Something good is going to happen to you. Jesus of Nazareth is passing. The Lord told me to come in this house and encourage you. You're doing better than you think you are. Something good is going. Come on, put that finger on somebody. Happen to you. Happen to you. This very day. Oh, something good.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. We hope you were blessed.